Glory to God. Hallelujah. Give Him praise tonight, guys. Hallelujah. He's our God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Sister Fry, come forth and bring the word of the living God tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The best is yet to come. Do you believe that tonight? Are you ready to receive that tonight? Are you ready to declare it out of your mouth every morning when you get up? The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Father, that our hearts are open to receive what you have for us tonight. I thank you, Father God, as we break the bread of life, that we will be fed, Lord. We will be fed, and we thank you for that tonight. And we just give you the praise and the glory that the best is yet to come. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we all pray and agree. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Mr. Fry. You're a good man. No. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, during that song, he was singing, the best is yet to come, and our ladder would be greater than the past. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, Lord, oh, I'm ready. Are you ready? I am ready. I am ready for it to be greater. I am ready to be so blessed. I am ready. And then I thought, and then the Lord said, hey, kiddo, you already are.
Amen.
You already are. Because you know what? It doesn't matter what our circumstances say. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It does not matter. What matters is what is written in this book.
Amen.
This is the reality of all eternity right here. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if my bank account says zero. It doesn't matter if it says negative zero. The word says, I am blessed. I am prosperous.
Yeah.
That I am more than a conqueror. And because of that, I am. I am. You know, I don't think it's by any mistake that's recorded in here time and time again when somebody said, but God, who are you? And God said, I am. You know? And my lightning quick mind, first thing I say is, I am what? I am your provision. I am your healer. I am your deliverance. I am your salvation. I am. He is everything we need. Everything. Praise God. And tonight, we are going to talk about what it means to be a living sacrifice for Him. For Him. See, you thought I was going to get gone and not even do, you thought I'd left my notes completely, didn't you? So I want you to turn with me, if you would please, to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Marvelous scripture. Of course, all the scriptures are marvelous. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. How many are brethren?
Yeah.
As a brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. You don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to do it in your own strength. It's by His mercies that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now that word service can also be translated ministry. Now, I looked it up in some other versions, and in the Message version that says to take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around, whatever life, and place it before God as an offering. The Amplified says we're to make a decisive dedication. We've got to decide. It's up to us. That we are going to present all our members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, well-pleasing to God, which is our reasonable service and spiritual worship. Easy to read version? Offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him. It is only right that you should worship Him in this way. In what way? By offering your lives as a living sacrifice. The New American Standard takes that last one where it's in the King James says reasonable service. It translates that as spiritual service of worship. And the New Living Translation just really sums it up. by saying, this is truly the way to worship Him. So the question is, just really, what does this mean? To present my body, to worship Him, for this to be my reasonable sacrifice. How do I do this? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Because I spent lots and lots of time researching and trying to find out. Because, you know, I believe that if God tells us to do something in His Word, He's also going to tell us how to do it. He's going to give us the way. He's going to give us instruction. He's not going to just tell us, do this, and then not tell us how to do it. I recently started a new position, and at my job, they are currently training me. Because I walk in there, and I look at the stuff that's going on, the computers and the machinery and the whatever, and I'm like, okay, you want me to do what? And without that instruction, without that training, I would not be effective in the job that they hired me to do. Well, that's a spiritual principle. We get that from God. Because God has decided, here's what I want you to do. I want you to present your body to me as a living sacrifice. Now, here's how you do it. So we're going to go to the Word and see how to do it. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 32. We're just going to break that thing down step by step. Because I believe in here we're going to see 9 steps that we can take, that we can implement in our lives in order to be that living sacrifice, to be what God's called us to be. Now, verse 22 says, put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, that word conversation is also translated conduct. So we can say there that we've got to get rid of the old conduct that we've walked in the past. The Message Bible puts it this way. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with your old way of life has got to go. It's rotten through and through, so get rid of it. In other words, stop living like you lived before you met Jesus. You've got to make the change. And then when we go back to where the Amplified said it was a decisive decision, you know, we're decisive in this. There's where you decide. I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to put off those old things. If I used to run the bars, I'm not running the bars anymore. If I used to drink, do drugs, whatever, that's part of the old life. I'm not doing that anymore. I have to make that decision. You know? So we've got to do that. Now, go down to verse 23. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because you know what? If you get rid of something, it needs to be replaced with something. So if you're going to get rid of those old mindsets, that old way of life, you've got to replace it with the new mindset. And where do you get that new from? You get it from the Word of God. You look in the Word and see, how should I be talking now? Before, I talked doubt, unbelief, death. How should I be talking now? Now I need to take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ, and I need to speak what the Word says. I got to say what the Word says. See, if not, he says in there, your words are stout against me. Whoa, 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 wait a minute, God. How is it my words are stout against you? I wouldn't talk ugly against you, Lord. Well, yeah, you do. Because whenever we say something that's contrary to the Word of God, then we are being against Him. And we cannot do that. That's part of the old life, and we're putting on the new. So we're going to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We're going to take on that new way of acting and thinking. The Amplified tells us that we're to have a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. We got to make an attitude change. You know? And our flesh has been trained in the old way. So we've got to retrain that flesh. It's not going to be easy. It's simple. Oh my gosh, it's so simple. Everything about the gospel is simple. But it is not easy. It really is not easy. So, how do we do it? How do we do this? Well, we've got to allow the Holy Spirit in. We've got to allow Him to control our thoughts, to renew our attitudes, to help us, to take and jerk the slack out as it is. That when we do something, we've got to be willing. That when He goes, whoa, 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 that we listen to that still small voice and we're quick to repent. And say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I repent from that. I should not have said that. I should not have said, Dennis is a hard-headed old goat. I should have said, he is a blessed, anointed man of God, and I love him and adore him. Father, I just worship you that you've given me such a good husband. And it's in those little things. It's in those little things that we've got to change. Now, going on to verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Woo! Now, I was wondering about, what about this new man? What is new man? Well, in the Greek, that means something more recent, not necessarily more recent in time, but something that has a completely different quality or nature. So it's new in that it's not just, you know, this is the latest version. It's new in that it's completely different. So when we are recreated in Christ Jesus, we are completely new. Our spirit man is brand new. Nothing there that's wrong. Nothing that's got the world in it. It's beautiful, brand new, created after God in holiness and righteousness. Our flesh is not, but our spirit is. That's one of the reasons the Word tells us we've got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know, that verse used to really throw me. Because I was like, wait a minute. Why do I have to work out my salvation? Jesus paid the price for my salvation. Jesus is my salvation. I don't have to work out Jesus. He's done it. Well, he's done it in my spirit man. But my flesh, that's up to me to work out my salvation in that. I'm the one that's got to take control of that. I'm the one that's got to take control of this mouth. I'm the one that's got to take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. You know, he's not going to do it for me. I got to do it. That's my part. He paid the price, and I'm free. But you know what? Somebody can go down here and put $1 million in the bank, hand me the bank book, and say, here it goes, it's yours. But if I never choose to step in that bank and make a withdrawal, guess what? I can live in poverty the rest of my life, having $1 million in the bank. And knowing I got it. But because I won't take the steps, I won't go and do what I know to do to get it, it sits there and does me no good. And I don't want to be that way. Not with the Word of God. I don't want us to be that way. Because we are equipping for change. We're going to change. Not only ourselves, but our surroundings, our environment, those that come in contact with us. Change. We are catalysts for change. Always, always. Now, going to my notes. Step 4. I'm staying on track, praise God. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. Up. There's the first one. We put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, because we are members one of another. Now, I really like the way the Message translation words that. And it says, what this adds up to then is this. No more lies. No more pretense. No more putting on the face. Right? We're going to tell each other the truth. In Christ's body, we are all connected to each other after all. So when you lie to others, you're actually lying to yourself. Because we're one body. And another way, too, that the Lord really quickened to me about putting away lying is that when we speak what the world speaks. You know, the world is controlled by the devil. The Word tells us very, very plainly that Satan is the god of this world. So the world is going to be speaking what Satan speaks. It's going to be speaking death. It's going to be speaking doubt. It's going to be speaking the negative. It's going to be speaking, I can't. You know, there's no way. It's going to be speaking poverty, depression, oppression, sickness, pain, disease. That's what the world is speaking. We've got to put away the lie of the enemy. And we've got to speak the truth. We've got to speak that I prosper in Jesus. I am the blessed of God. I have favor with God and with man. Nothing is impossible with God. And because I am hidden in him, nothing is impossible with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what it looks like. And sometimes in the face of what you're seeing, that's hard. It's hard to declare how healed you are when your back is hurting to the point that you're sitting there almost in tears. It's hard. But yet, the Word says we're to put it away. And we're to speak the truth. We're to speak the Word of God. Number 5. Verse 26. Be not angry. No, it says, be ye angry. Oh, we can be angry. Hot dog. In other words, you can let those, you've got those emotions. God gave them to you for a reason. So don't be, you know, don't let the devil beat you up and get you all tore up because you lost your temper over something. But keep reading. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now the New Living Translation says it this way. Don't sin by letting your anger control you. So don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't let your emotions rule you. Yes, we have emotions, but they are not to rule us. We, by the Spirit, are to rule them. So when that emotion rises up, and I guess he used anger here because that's such a that's just such an intense emotion. You know, and that's something that everybody can really relate to. I mean, has anybody in here besides me ever got angry? Yeah. And it's silly stuff. I mean, you know, we can be justifiably angry at something. Jesus got angry. It says he went into the temple when he saw them, you know, buying and selling, and he overthrew the money changers, and he took out a whip and drove them all out. I mean, that sounds like anger to me. You know? So anger is there, but we have to be in control of it. Because, you know, you see what Jesus did after that? He immediately started ministering to people. He did not stay in that emotional state. He did not let that anger control him, but he used it. And he ministered to people. He showed them their error, and he ministered to them. And that's what we need to do. We got to be like Jesus. We cannot let our emotions rule us. Now, step 6, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Amen. Don't give him no room. Because how many of you know that every day, several times a day, the devil's going to give you an opportunity to give place to him. Somebody's going to cut you off in traffic. There's an opportunity to give place to the devil. You know? Somebody's going to say something to you that they really shouldn't say. There's an opportunity from the devil. You know? You stump your toe. There's an opportunity. It surrounds us because we are in this world. We're not of it, but we're in it. And the devil is constantly, he is very vigilant, looking for a way to get us out of the things of God, to get us to agree with him, to pull into the world, not to rise above it. What was it, Jeremy, you say? Don't rise to the standard of the word. Don't fall to the standard of the world. And that's something we have to be diligent to do. We have to do that, guys. Now, step 8. No, 7. Excuse me, 7. Verse 28. Let him that steal no more. Do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay is what my daddy used to say. But you know, people can steal from you without ever physically taking anything. They can steal your peace, your joy, your happiness. You know, we can steal from God. The word says, will a man rob God? How? By not giving him the worship that he deserves, the adoration, the honor, by giving him reverence, by giving him the place in our life that he's supposed to have, by giving him first place. Anytime he's not first, we've stolen from him. It's not just in tithes and offerings. You know, Malachi tells us, don't, you know, in the tithes and offerings, you've robbed me. But it's not just that. That's a physical thing we can touch and that we can say, here it is, you know. But there's so many other things that we can rob God of. And we need to be aware of that we don't. And that verse goes on and says, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good. The thing that is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So what is corrupt communication? Well, it goes on to tell us. It says, we are to use that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So in other words, if it's not ministering grace to someone that's hearing it, if it's not a blessing coming out of your mouth, then it's corrupt communication. So, you know, and it's not just foul or abusive language, you know. A lot of times, I heard somebody say one time that you should always let your ears hear what your mouth is saying. Because sometimes we'll get to, you know, it'll get to going, and we say things without thinking first. And it's just kind of like, it's like toothpaste. Once you squeeze it and it pops out, you can't get it back in the tube. It's out there. Same with words. Once we speak them, they're out there. You can't take them back. You can apologize until your ears fall off. But that word is out there. It's already done the damage. It is there. So we've got to be careful. We've got to watch that. We've got to watch our mouths. And then in verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." Now that's something that always used to get me. I always wondered, how do I grieve the Holy Spirit of God? What am I doing that's grieving Him? Because I don't want to grieve Him. I don't. But if you go on and read in verse 31, it tells you the things that grieve Him. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Let all of these be put away from you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. In other words, in the Amplified, it says we should let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, should be banished from us with all malice, which is spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. So, it's the scriptures telling us right there to get rid of those things. And right before it, it has told us, now don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of this. So these are the things in our lives that will grieve the Holy Spirit. And for me, it was just like, oh, thank you, Lord. Because the devil will take little things like, I mean, I don't know how the devil does you, but he'll take little things like that and he will just run me ragged with it. You know, because I'll do something. And immediately I think, okay, is that something that would grieve the Holy Ghost? And the devil's right there going, ooh, you just grieved the Holy Ghost. When you did that, you know, that look you gave them, that grieved the Holy Ghost, you know. What you said, that grieved the Holy Ghost. Well, now I know. I know now what grieves the Holy Spirit. So when the devil brings something to me, if he says, oh, you know what? You said you were going to read 10 chapters in your Bible today, and you only read 4. You grieved the Holy Ghost. No, I didn't, devil. I got 4 chapters in me. And there was no bitterness in it. There was no indignation or wrath. There was no resentment. I know what grieves my Holy Spirit. And I didn't do none of those. And He knows. He knows my desire for the Word. And He orders my steps. And if I read 4 chapters, even though I wanted to read 10, those were the 4 He needed me to read. Because He orders my steps. He leads and guides and directs me. So I don't let, don't let the devil mess on you like that. Put him in his place. How do you put him in his place? With the Word. Put him in his place. And then verse 32 sums it up and says, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave us. So now the big thing on this is you're like, okay, we've got all this instruction. We've got 9 steps here. I know stuff now. I can look in Ephesians and go, okay, I need to do this, 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 this. But some of these things in my flesh, they look kind of hard. I'm not sure I can do this. I mean, those of us that are married, sometimes our spouses, don't be doing that. You know there's times you've looked at me with that evil look. I've seen you. But you know, as iron sharpens iron. But there are times, and I think, Lord, I know I'm not supposed to have no corrupt communication, but he is really just getting on my last nerve. I'm getting ready to hurt him, Lord, and I'm bigger than him. I can take him. Joel submitted to the ministry. He will not. And besides, I already know he won't hit a woman. He's a good man. But, and so I have to wonder. I said, Lord, this man. And those of us that have children, there are times our children, you know, they do stuff. They do stuff. You know? But what am I going to do here? How am I going to do this? Lord, I'm weak. How am I going to speak blessing over him all the time when he's just like, I mean, he's like, he's doing that thing that just drives me up the wall. What am I going to do here? And we all know there's that little thing. And I know I got a thing that drives him up the wall. You know? Because we're human. We're in the flesh. It happens. So, Lord, what am I going to do? You either? Joel says, no, I'm fine. Well, 1 Peter, he does. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us how we do this. This is how we implement these steps in our lives. Right here. It says, for we are chosen of God. Chosen for the high calling. Chosen to be holy people. God's instruments to do his work and to speak out for him. To tell others of the night and day difference that he made for us. From nothing to something. From rejected to accepted. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation of God's. You are purchased, special people, that you can show forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that's how we do it. We go there to 1 Peter 2:9. And when those things are getting on us and we're like, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. We remind ourselves of the truth. And we say, you know what? No. Devil, you're a liar. I can do this. I can stop corrupt communication proceeding out of my mouth. Because I am chosen of God. I am a part of that royal priesthood. I am his body. Lord, I can do this. I can forgive that person that cut me off in traffic. Or forgive that person that told that lie on me. Or forgive that person that misrepresented me at work. Because your word says that I am to show forth the difference that you have made in my life. And my life is different now because of what he's done. Lord, I can do this. Even when my spouse or my children are getting on my last nerve and all I want to do is tell them, get out of my face. Instead, I can look at them and I can speak blessing over them and I can tell them what a joy they are to me. I can tell them how much I love them because God's love has been shed abroad in my heart so that I can release that love to them. So God hasn't left us out here with a bunch of rules and regulations and telling us, this is what you need to do. You know, present yourself a living sacrifice. See, I used to think Old Testament when I read that. I got to crawl up on some altar somewhere and let somebody just stomp the mud out of me. Even though there ain't no mud in me, I guess if they stopped long enough, something would come out. You know. I got to be abused and allow people to just, you know, whatever. I can't stand up for myself because I'm a living sacrifice. See me bleed. No. Jesus bled for us. He bore our iniquities, our diseases. He took the pain, the suffering. He paid the price. We don't have to. We don't. So to be a living sacrifice is to show forth his glory in the earth. To let the kingdom of darkness, to let everybody around us see Jesus in us. In what we say, and how we act, and how we treat others. And how we can get emotional, we can get angry. But then we can pull that emotion in and we can take control of it and go, You know what? That really upsets me, but I'm not going to let it get to me. I'm going to choose to walk after the way of the Word with this. And the Word says, things that are stolen from me will be returned. The Word says, you know. And we've got, so that's why it's so key that we know what the Word says. So that in those situations, the Holy Spirit can immediately bring it to our remembrance, and we can speak the truth instead of the lie of the world. It is so important that we have this Word in our hearts. In Psalms it says, your Word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. We've got to get that Word in us. But we can't let it hide there. You know, it's, the Word tells us also that there's a treasure hidden in earthen vessels. We're those earthen vessels. And this is the treasure that we hide within us. But we don't hide it there to keep it away from people. We hide it there so that the appropriate time, when it's needed, it can come out. And we can use it to minister, to bless, to heal, to help. Because that's what we're called to do. Because we are a chosen generation. We are that royal priesthood. And it's time for us to start walking in that thing. It's time for us to be the kings and the queens that He's called us to be. It's time for us to rise up to the Word and let everybody around us see, so that they look at us and they go, something different about you. Can't quite put my finger on it, but you know, things don't bother you that bother other people. You always have a smile, you know. There's just, what is it? Because one day, it'll get to them, and one day they'll ask you, what is it about you? How can you always have such a good attitude, Joel? Don't these clients just get on your nerves with this financial stuff? I mean, all these numbers, and you just, you're okay. What is it, Lisa? I mean, here you are at home with two young boys, and they're you know, full of energy and life, and you always have this smile on your face. What is it? You know, Albert, Kathy, man, you guys have been through some stuff. And yet, you're smiling. You always got an encouraging word. Why? You know? Bridget, Marvin, you know, I mean, you got your dad there doing stuff. Y'all's home has been invaded. I mean, let's be honest here. Even though it was an invited invasion, it's still invaded. And you love him, but it's different. But yet, y'all are so gracious. And you're always okay. And you always have a good thing to say. What's different? What's different? Lori, your face, you just always kind of like glow. I mean, why? What's different about you? I don't understand. You're raising a teenage daughter and a little boy, and it's like, girl, how do you stay so calm? Jesus. Because we're His royal priesthood. We are His nation. We're His body. And we walk in what He tells us to walk in. So, Father, tonight we thank You. And we just give You the praise and the glory that Your Word has told us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to You. And Father, we thank You, not only did Your Word tell us to do this, but it gave us a guideline. It showed us how to do it, what it would look like, so we would know when we're walking in it and we would know when we're missing the mark. So Father, tonight we just make that declaration to You that we are not going to miss the mark. Lord, we've read Your Word. We know what You said. So now we're responsible for it. And Father, we thank You that You gave us the Holy Ghost. And Holy Ghost, we thank You that You are there to teach us all things and to strengthen us and to be our help in time of need. And we just receive it now, that help that we need. Because You said, Lord, that He'll bring all things to our remembrance. So Father, we thank You. We thank you that we're a holy people. We have been created as new creations in Christ Jesus, created unto good works. And we will walk in that, Father. There's going to be a difference in our walk, a difference in our talk from this moment forward. Because we're receiving what you have for us. We are what you call us to be. And we just thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
So thank you so much, everyone, for being here tonight. I trust that you got something from this. I know I did. In studying it and just, you know, researching and saying, Lord, how do we do this? And that's one of the things we want to do here, is we want, you know, the service we had last week, oh my gosh, wasn't that good? It was awesome. And we are just so open to letting the Holy Spirit come in and do what he wants when he wants to do that. We are just like, yes, Lord, come on. Party time! You know, there's a kid's song that says, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, you know. And there's not. But, you know, we can't walk in that 24/7. First off, the world would lock us away. Because they would think, oh, they've gone bonkers. Just lock them up. You know? But the practical things, that's what we want here. We want to take the practical things of Word of God and put it in shoe leather and be able to walk it out in our day-to-day lives. You know? Because in doing that, we are going to show Jesus to the world. We really are. So I just declare each and every one of you as a reflection of his glory. You are vessels that carry his glory, and you release it wherever you go. And I just thank the Lord for each and one, every one of you. The things that God has lined up for you is just phenomenal. It is phenomenal. We none of us have any idea what he's got for us. He says that, you know, it's above and beyond what we could ask and think. And so we just, oh, God, you're so good. You're just so good. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. So, Father, I just bless them now. I ask that your face shine upon them, Lord, that you give them peace in every area of their life. Father, we speak the blessing over them. That they would go forth and prosper and multiply and have dominion over everything in their lives. And I just thank you, Father, that they are the body of Christ. And everywhere they set the sole of their feet, they establish the kingdom of God. And I just thank you for them. I just thank you, Lord, that the Spirit dwells within them, leads, guides, and directs them. They do not lean to their own understanding, but in all their ways they acknowledge you, Lord. And they hear your voice, and they obey you immediately. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.